Last week, the federal government passed a bill through the Senate to combine the Family Court with the Federal Circuit Court. The Attorney General, Christian Porter, was in full support of the legislation. He said the changes would result in a simpler, faster and cheaper legal system for anyone settling family disputes. But former judges and legal support services aren't convinced. Some are saying these changes could mean survivors of domestic violence could end up falling through the cracks. So what does this court merge mean for you if you have to settle a family dispute? Alison Ross is a partner at Hopgood Gannon Lawyers. She's an accredited specialist in family law, an accredited arbitrator and former family law chair for the Queensland Law Society. Alison, good morning.
Good morning, Rebecca.
Why has this merger happened between the Family Court and the Federal Circuit Court?
Well, the government's position, Rebecca, is that by streamlining the courts and ensuring that there's efficiency, they'll be able to implement change in order to bring about a quicker, faster and cheaper resolution of matters. But unfortunately, a lot of the basis upon which they've made those conclusions aren't necessarily accepted by those at the coalface doing family law day in, day out, and indeed hasn't been accepted by even former judges of both the Federal Circuit Court and the Family Court of Australia. So it's something that's causing a fair amount of concern in the family law network as a whole.
What does the Federal Circuit Court cover?
The Federal Circuit Court is a very general court and deals with a wide range of federal law matters. It does a significant amount of migration work, it does bankruptcy work, admiralty work, trademarks work, and in amongst all of that, it also does 95, well, depending on the statistics that you hear, 90 to 95% of all family law matters. So one of the concerns that merge the Federal Circuit Court and the Family Court is that we're effectively taking a specialist court in the Family Court and merging it with very much a generalist court that deals with a wide range of federal law matters.
Okay, but you said the Federal Circuit Court does currently handle 90% of family law cases. Of the 10% that it doesn't and would have been heard in a family law court specifically, what's the difference? Why are those 10% in the family court?
Well, put simply, they're the most complex cases in general terms. That's complex both in terms of parenting issues, in terms of family violence issues, but also in terms of financial issues between parties. There are some matters that specifically must be commenced in the family court, and those would include permissions for medical procedures and things like that, Hague Convention matters, etc. But on the whole, the family court is there because it is the most specialised family law court dealing with the most complex of matters.
You're listening to Alison Ross, an accredited specialist in family law, also the former family law chair for the Queensland Law Society. Off the back of last week, the fact that a bill was passed through the Senate to combine Australia's family court with the Federal Circuit Court, in functional terms, when will they be merged and operating as the government would have preferred them to be?
The bill, as far as I can tell, is yet to receive assent, but the idea appears to be to have all of this merger through within 6 months of assent or a different date that's proclaimed. But at the latest, it's intended to be within 6 months.
Okay. So how will that change the logistics for people in Brisbane who need to settle a family dispute?
Well, logistically, one of the things that will come out of the merger is what's called a single point of entry. So all matters must be filed in the division of the court that will represent what the Federal Circuit Court of Australia used to do. So that's called Division 2 of the combined court. And so all matters, regardless of their nature, must first be funneled through that particular single point of entry and then will be allocated, it's asserted, to the most appropriate court.
Mm. So I'm just trying to understand whether this is something that, in fact, may not be front of mind for a family in Brisbane who needs, you know, who has a complex custody situation or even experiencing domestic violence. Are you thinking it's going to add to their trauma, to their paperwork, you know, in terms of those practical terms?
Practically, it may not make a lot of difference to some litigants, particularly because, as I've mentioned, the vast majority of family law matters were already filed in the Federal Circuit Court of Australia. Mm. So those matters probably won't notice a difference because they'll continue to be filed ineffectively, the division of the court that represents that. What the biggest concern is that although there are some positives out of the merger, it's intended that there will be this single point of entry, it's intended that there will be one set of common rules between the two divisions of the court, it's intended that there will be one set of forms, and all of those are fantastic ideas that a lot in the profession have been pushing for a considerable period of time, and indeed the court has been working towards that. But the biggest concern is that all of that doesn't address some of the underlying systemic problems of dealing with some of the more complicated matters and the significant under-resourcing in the courts. So although it's designed or intended that there will be efficiencies in the way that the courts will operate, unless the courts, no matter how they're structured, are funded properly, people who are perhaps survivors of domestic violence, people who are dealing with allegations of child abuse, sexual abuse, those significantly difficult matters, they will continue to struggle because the resourcing's not there. Mm. And nothing in what we've seen to date would indicate that beyond purported efficiencies that are meant to be there, there's any significant or definite way that's intended to deal with those issues. And that's probably the biggest concern that we have, is that people might still fall between the cracks, even though there may be some advantages out of the merger insofar as simpler procedures for litigants.
The Family Court and the Federal Circuit Court are merging. It's gone through Parliament. In practical terms, it should be done within 6 months. Alison Ross is an accredited specialist in family law. Do we have specialised domestic violence judges, Alison?
All judges do domestic violence training. But there are different programs. There's recently been what's called the Lighthouse Project that's been implemented. But on the whole, domestic violence is so widely spread throughout all family law matters that all judges need to have domestic violence training and more domestic violence training. Mm. All judges do have that training. Obviously, we're not dealing as well with here the state courts, where they do have specialist domestic violence magistrates who deal with, obviously, matters such as protection orders and the like.
How does this merger change things for you as a family lawyer?
Well, I guess as a family lawyer, we are fairly accustomed to change, so we're fairly adaptable because family law is one of those areas that does change a lot. And as I mentioned, there are a fair amount of positives that come out of this procedurally for both litigants and practitioners alike. You know, we will have, hopefully, it's the aim of this merger to have one single set of rules instead of having to deal with different sets of rules depending on which court we happen to be in, one single set of forms, all of those different types of things. The other aim of the merger is to bring in simpler procedures, but we're yet to see how that's going to play out, and really the devil's going to be in the detail in that regard. But, you know, look, it may indeed have some benefits, but the question is whether those benefits of a procedural nature will take away some of the significant concerns that we as practitioners have.
Mm. And when you talk about better resourcing for the courts, I mean, are you talking about specific positions, judges? Are you talking about courtroom space? Like, what form would you like to see that resourcing come?
Predominantly more judicial officers, Rebecca, because, you know, the judges are very overworked. It is a very, both the Federal Circuit Court and the Family Court are very, very busy courts. The judges do their best in the time that they have available to them, but they just simply have too many matters coming through the door requiring their assistance. So until we have that addressed in the form of more judges, more registrars who are doing a very good job as well to try and get matters through the system and resolved as soon as possible, then the rest may well be window dressing. We're yet to see how that plays out.
What is the average time frame for I guess it's hard because every situation is complex. But if someone walks into a family law office today with a dispute, mm-hmm. A relationship breakdown, custody that involves financial issues, what would be the time frame on average you would think it would take to resolve that using what would have been the family court?
Well, everybody is a little bit different, but in the family court's 2019-2020 annual report, it indicated that there was more than a one-year backlog in just cases that were sitting there waiting to be determined. So on that basis, you would have to say that it would take at least a year. The Federal Circuit Court, because it does deal with simpler matters, it does dispose of a higher percentage of matters, around about 65% within 12 months. That's well below its target, which is to have 90% of matters resolved within that 12-month mark. But realistically, what we say to clients is that they're looking at generally at least 1 to 2 years if they require the court's assistance to resolve the matter. And obviously not all matters do require the court's assistance. Mm. A lot of matters do resolve with the effort of practitioners, the parties themselves, and also the court, because the court does require that people do contemplate and participate as appropriate in alternative dispute resolution.
Gee whiz, 1 to 2 years, though, is a long time to have a protracted argument, and we have to remember at the heart of that, often there are children involved as well. We'll stay in touch to see how this plays out. Alison, I really appreciate your time this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Rebecca.